Morning. I just wanted to thank the church for sending Jim and Rhonda on that cruise, and to see Rhonda so excited, and I know Jim was too, but thank you for doing that, and Mike and Gail, thank you for heading that up. So that was really special. Well, I came across a test to determine whether couples are ready to have children. So here's a mess test. Smear peanut butter on the sofa and curtains of your house, and then rub your hands in a wet flower bed and rub them on the walls. Now cover the stains with crayons and place a fish stick behind the couch and leave it there all summer. Then there's the toy test. Obtain a 55-gallon box of Legos. If Legos are not available, you may substitute roofing tacks or broken bottles. Have a friend spread them all over the house. Now put on a blindfold and try to walk to the bathroom or kitchen without screaming, because this could wake a child at night. There's the grocery store test. Borrow one or two small animals, preferably goats, and take them with you as you shop at the grocery store, always keeping them in sight and paying for anything that they eat or damage. The dress test. Obtain one large, unhappy, live octopus and stuff it into a small net, making sure that all of the arms stay inside. Finally, the feeding test. Obtain a large plastic milk jug, fill it halfway with water, suspend it from the ceiling with a stout cord, and start the jug swinging. Try to insert spoonfuls of soggy cereal, such as Fruit Loops or Cheerios, into the mouth of the jug while pretending to be an airplane. Now dump all of the contents of the jug on the floor. You know, there's some wake-up verses for me in the Bible. You come across them and you're like, they scare you a little bit. James 3:1, not many of you should presume to be teachers or leaders because you will be judged more strictly. Or study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed. Or Luke 12:48, to whom much has been given, much will be expected. Or Matthew 7:21, when Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And you're like, whew. It's pretty scary stuff. Well, here's one that God says to parents that has always kind of got my attention as well, and it's the passage we're going to look at today. And if you have your Bibles, if you would turn with me to Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 9. If not, you can just listen along, but I'll have you stand as we read this passage for today's study. Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 9. This is Moses writing. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all of his decrees and commands that I give you, so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. This is God's word. You may be seated. The first point I have is the greatest gift I can give my kids is to love God. it's really the greatest gift we can give anyone. The greatest gift you can give your neighbor, the greatest gift you can give your employer, the greatest gift you can give your employee, the greatest gift you can give your spouse is to love God. We read in Deuteronomy 6:5, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. When the religious teachers came up to Jesus and they asked him, of all the commandments in the Old Testament, 613 of them, trying to trick Jesus, which one is the greatest? And without hesitation, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. To the church in Ephesus, Jesus said, I know your deeds and all of the great things that you are doing, but I have this one thing against you. You've left your first love. And I hear him saying to me what he said to Peter after Peter had denied him three times. And Jesus asked him three times, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Loving Jesus is the best gift you can give anyone. Let me explain. We think Christianity is sometimes all about rules, but it's not. It is a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that comes way before rules. Christianity, someone said, is a love affair, a love for our Creator, for our Savior. If I love God, then I want to do what He says. His rules become a delight, not a duty. When you love someone, you want to make them happy. And when the love of God dwells in my heart or in your heart, it should influence your whole life. Jesus said three times in John 14, if you love me, then you will do what I say. You will keep my commands. And God's love must be in me if I expect it to be in my kids. And I know there are exceptions. Just because you're godly parents, there's no guarantee that you will have godly kids. But I cannot give my kids what I don't possess. I cannot impart to my kids what I haven't partaken of. I cannot feed my kids if I haven't been fed. It all starts with me. And Joshua said much of the same thing when he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Over and over again, the Bible beckons us to take heed unto ourselves, to watch our own selves. Before we can watch the house of God, or before we can even watch our own house, Moses says in this book, Deuteronomy 4:9, two chapters earlier, be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you don't forget the things that your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live, and teach them to your children and to their children after them. The greatest gift I can give my kids, the greatest gift I can give my family, is to love God. My relationship with God will definitely affect my relationship with my kids. If I am experiencing God's love, then I'm going to be able to love my kids. The second commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself, is impossible without the first commandment, to love God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Because if I haven't experienced God's forgiveness and His patience and His grace, how can I extend forgiveness or grace or patience to anyone else? But I will show patience or forgiveness or grace if I have experienced it myself. Remember, I will be remembered. Proverbs 17:6 says, parents are the pride of their children. My reputation is, in many regards, my kids' reputation. Would my kids be ashamed of me if they knew I was doing this or that? How do I want my kids to remember me? That my dad loved hunting? That my dad loved his computer? that my dad loved biking more than all the rest of us. One of the saddest funerals I ever went to was a funeral of a man who died of cancer in his 50s. And as he walked into the church where the funeral was taking place, there was all of his hunting pictures up with all of these huge animals that he had shot. But his kids had hardly any relationship with him. How do I want my kids to remember me? And I hope that my kids will say, my dad and my mom loved Jesus. As imperfect as they were, full of flaws and weaknesses, I know that they loved Jesus. In 2 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, Timothy. This faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and now lives in your mother Eunice and has been passed on to you. What a great reminder. Second point I want to bring out is this. It's my responsibility to teach my kids about God. Deuteronomy 6, 7, and 9 says this. Impress them on your children. Talk about God's commands when you sit at home with them and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. What are your goals for your kids? Well, if you're like me, you want them to have a good job. You want them to go to college. You want them to succeed in life. You want them to be a hard worker. Let me ask this question. What is God's number one goal for your kids? Well, in Malachi 2:15, he said the reason marriage is so important is because he's seeking godly offspring. Gary Thomas, this author I really admire, he said, there is no higher aim for your kids than for them to worship and serve God. You see, there's going to come a time when nothing else will matter in your kids' lives except for their relationship with Jesus Christ. I was talking to a man in his 70s this week and asked him what he's been learning, what God's been teaching him. And he said, I can't get this verse out of my mind. And being a guy who likes to memorize things, I was like, give it to me, give it to me. And he said, Psalm 71:18. And it says this, even when I am gray and old, do not forget me, O God, until I have declared your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to those who will come later. And I said, that is so good. And he said, I'm putting together the story of my life and what God has done in my life. And before I die, I want to give it to my kids and to my grandkids so that they know what God has done in my life and how he has changed me and how he has saved me. So I said, I got to share this with the people at Touchmark and Edgewood because they're always telling me, I don't know why I'm still alive. I'm 96. I can't move. I don't know why I'm still here. And I told them, one of the reasons you are still here is so that you can declare what God has done in your life to those who are to come, to the next generation. So here's a plea to parents. Don't abdicate your responsibility to teach your kids about God to the church, to a school, even to grandparents. Certainly all of them can help, but God says it is the parents' responsibility to teach their kids about God. And here's where we come to the question where Paul says, who is adequate for this? Do you feel adequate for parenting? I feel like a total failure. Parenting is one of the most humbling things that there is. But let me encourage you, of all the families in the world that God chose to raise those kids, he chose you. And if you doubt that, then you are doubting God's sovereignty. Not only did God choose you to parent your kids, but he promises that he will help you. You know, when you think about professors teaching subject matter, most of them have kind of mastered that topic, whether it's mechanics or an electrician or a pilot. I mean, you hope who's ever piloting your plane has pretty well mastered that subject, right? But when it comes to parenting, I mean, who has mastered it? We are so far from perfection, and yet we're still expected to teach. And it's humbling. In fact, I often say I could have written the book on parenting until I had kids. Gary Thomas says in his book, Sacred Parenting, that God gave us kids not so much to make us happy as to make us holy. Do you know that God wants to teach me and you as much through our kids as he wants us to teach them through us? Have you thought about that? I mean, here's the irony. God uses the process of raising children to become adults, to help adults become more like children. And just when you start to think you have everything figured out, God gives you kids. The bigger change than getting married for me was having kids. Because just when I thought I was patient, just when I thought I never struggled with anger, just when I thought I was long-suffering and forgiving, just when I thought I was kind and gentle, God gives you kids who don't clean their rooms, who don't turn off lights, who don't pick up their toys, who don't, and the list goes on and on and on, and I realize God has a lot to teach me. I realize I don't have much wisdom. But God says, whoever lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But how many times do we go a whole week without seeking God's wisdom or help when it comes to parenting? Am I too proud or too arrogant or too independent to seek God for help? Do you know, without God, I have nothing to offer my children? Would you just repeat that with me? Without God, I have nothing to offer my children. My whole purpose as a parent is to point my son or daughter to Jesus. Do you remember in Mark 9 when this man was struggling with his son? And he said, I gave him to your disciples, Jesus, but they couldn't deal with this boy. And Jesus says, bring the boy to me. I love that. Bring the boy to me. The last verse in the Gospel of Mark says this: the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word. The Lord worked with them. I love that. And God promises to work with us if we just ask. He'll help us. But we still have a responsibility, right? And here's where it gets really hard for me. Someone who loves sports, there is something great on TV every single night of the week. Right now, we're in the midst of playoffs. Football is now Monday, Thursday, college Saturday, NFL Sunday, and then you have tennis during the week, and then you have golf, and then you have the NBA, and then you have baseball, and I'm thinking, can I not spare 30 minutes to an hour to read from God's Word to my kids, or to read Chronicles of Narnia to your kids? Can I not sacrifice a few extra hours of overtime and work to spend with my family. Because our time with our kids is so limited. And then they're out of the house. But eternity is forever. Listen to this statement by Gary Thomas, referring to our kids. When they stand alone before God, it won't matter how early in life they were potty trained. We won't care whether they could run a mile in 4 minutes or shoot below par in a round of golf. It won't matter if they earned a six-figure income or died with a six-figure debt or could fit into a size 2 dress. What will matter is that they take their place alongside us in the glorious reality that God calls heaven. Is this my focus today? Leading my children to righteousness? Deuteronomy 6, 7, and 9 says, impress these commands on your kids. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Every day we have opportunities to teach our kids about Jesus. When we sit at home, when we walk along the road or drive to soccer practice, when we lie down, bedtime, when you get up, when you start the day, divine truth is to ever be before our kids. Night and day, indoors and outdoors, our children are to receive God's word through their eyes, their ears, their intellect, their heart. The third and final point that Moses brings out is this: as goes the home, so goes the nation. Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 3. These commands, these decrees, these laws that the Lord your God gave you, that you are to teach and to observe in the land that you're crossing, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live. I am giving these to you so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey them so that it will go well with you and that you may increase greatly in the land that is flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. You know, sometimes if you're like me, you've asked the question, what has happened to America? What has happened to the country that I knew? What has happened to England? What has happened to our world? A number of years ago, there was huge rioting in England. Over 3,000 people were arrested, 1,500 were charged with crimes, $160 million worth of damage from rioters, 5 related rioting deaths. And that's not a third world country. We're talking about a civilized world power. Almost all of the looters were under 20 years of age. Some of the looters who were arrested were 11 years of age. And David Cameron, who was then Prime Minister, said this: if we want to have any hope of mending our broken society, family and parenting is where we've got to start. And he placed the blame on children without fathers, schools without discipline, reward without effort, crime without punishment, rights without responsibilities, and communities without control. When Moses spoke these words, Israel was an infant nation. And God says, your nation will be as strong as your homes. The home is to be the very center in which truth and godliness are passed from one generation to the next generation. Our nation will be as good or bad and as strong or weak as our homes. Our land will be as safe as our homes are. So, what is the state of your home? And I ask the question of myself. What is the state of my home? Well, in conclusion, do you ever give chores to your kids? And my kids are great at doing chores, much better than I would be at their age, I can tell you that. And much better than I am even now half the time. I have to say that because my kids are all here listening to this. But when they were little, and maybe when your kids are little, and you said, can you load the dishwasher? And they're like, why do I have to do it? And you think to yourself, do you have any idea what your mom and I have sacrificed for you? I mean, does the thought ever cross your mind that I would like to buy a really nice truck, but I have no disposable income because our grocery bill is $1,200 a month? And sometimes you think that, and you think, man, the kids just take it for granted how well they have it, right? But this week, I have been so convicted by my Heavenly Father. And I hear Him saying, do you have any idea how much I have sacrificed for you? And do you take it for granted? And it sends shivers up my spine. Do I even thank God, my Heavenly Father? Do I even pause to remember all that He's done for me? Let me end with this. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and everything that is within me. Praise the Lord, and forget not all of His benefits. He has forgiven all of your sins. He heals diseases. He has redeemed your life from the pit. And He crowns you with love and compassion. And He satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord is compassionate, and He's gracious, and He's slow to anger, and He's abounding in love. And He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our sins from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on His children. For He knows how we are formed. He knows that we are but dust. The life of mortals is like grass that flourishes like a flower of the field, and then the wind blows over it and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness is with their children's children, with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. Praise the Lord, you His angels. Praise the Lord, all the heavenly hosts. Praise the Lord, you His servants. Praise the Lord, all of His works, everywhere in His dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And all of God's people said, amen. I'll have you stand for the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Have a great afternoon, everyone.